Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's hour two on this Tuesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Come on in, stay a while. Say goodbye to the Lakers. Say goodbye to the Pelicans. Celtics up 3-1 on the Heat. Kristaps Porzingis injured his calf. Not sure his availability here. No reports yet. Probably later today. 76ers at the Knicks. 76ers are getting 4. Magic at the Cavs, Magic getting 4.5, Pacers at the Bucks, the Bucks getting 4. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. The Lakers, they got one win in Denver, out of Denver, that series, not in Denver, but they got closed out last night, and LeBron James was asked about, is this the last game as a Laker?
Tonight, was there any thought at all that, you know, this could have been your last game with the Lakers?
I'm not going to answer that. Appreciate it.
Okay. So it sounded no, not exactly a yes either. And you got a lot of offseason here to talk about what you want to do, what you can do, the draft, what you do in the draft, the role that his son plays. But I don't see LeBron playing someplace else. Yes, Don.
Were you surprised LeBron wasn't a little more surly or pretended to be surly in that situation? Like, you know, we just lost and we got knocked down in the first round by the same team as last year. You're asking me my future? Or is that not really his personality?
I think at his age, you're going to ask that question. Yeah. I mean, when we say, well, is that a fair question? Okay, you don't have to answer, or you can answer it in a certain way. But I think asking the question, that's something that's not off the board. Now, how you ask that, have you given any thought to, you know, have you played your last game as a Laker? And I don't think that's out of the question because we don't know. He didn't answer it. He didn't say, no, I'm playing. So it becomes a fair question because of his answer, because he doesn't know.
And he answered with a smile and he said, I appreciate it. He was the exact opposite of being annoyed by it.
But it was Jamal Murray who was the star last night down the stretch. He had 32. And here is his head coach, Michael Malone, on Jamal Murray.
The kid's a warrior, man. I can't say enough good things about Jamal Murray. The bigger the moment, the kid just continues to shine.
He does. He wants the ball. They know that they're in good hands if he has the ball. And so 2 of the 4 games, Jamal Murray won those at the buzzer. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of this program. Good morning if you're watching on Peacock. Thank you for allowing us into your homes and our radio affiliates around the country, numbering over 400 cities. Poll question for hour two is going to be what, Seton O'Connor? We have Big Shot Bob Horry a little bit later on this morning.
Yeah, Big Shot Bob, he rules. What a career. Better signing yesterday, Travis Kelce or Jason Kelce? You want to take a guess? 61% have Jason Kelce being a huge winner. No offense, Travis. No offense. However, in terms of making a bigger splash, ESPN got a good deal.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, because if you sign Jason, then you wonder, does that lead to Travis as well? So it might be a signing that leads to another signing there. But Jason Kelce will be there for Monday Night Countdown. Travis says he's going to play at least two more years in Kansas City. They announce it on the same day. Yes, Paul?
You asked last hour, has a team ever had the non-quarterback as the most famous person or maybe co-most famous people?
Yeah, but this is a tight end.
Tight end. Gronk wasn't more famous than Brady. Not at all. But they were both household names simultaneously. That's like one of the few I think of. When the Cowboys had Michael Irvin, Emmitt Smith, and Troy Aikman, they were like equal fame. All three were equal. They were all great at what they did. They were famous for different reasons, if you know what I mean.
Well, Emmitt didn't have a personality. He was just a spectacular, durable player.
But his rushing yardage.
But you didn't go, oh, the Cowboys, Emmitt. I think you think the Cowboys and the star is the star. But or Jimmy Johnson or Jerry Jones. I mean, there are very few NFL teams. Lawrence Taylor, you could have said that maybe he was the face of the franchise with the Giants over Phil Simms or Bill Parcells. But not many times. And you have a tight end who is the face of the franchise. You have one of the two greatest quarterbacks of all time, but the tight end feels like he's the face of the franchise. Yes, Todd.
The only reason I have a problem with that is if you were to sell, like do a promotion, say so-and-so and the team are coming to town, it would be Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, no matter how popular Travis Kelce is. Would you say Travis Kelce and the Chiefs are coming
to town? Maybe. Well, when you get Travis, you get Taylor. So he...
Maybe.
But the speculation would be there.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yes, Martin.
But Mahomes is never not mentioned when they talk about the Chiefs.
True.
So I think that's Mount Rushmore faces.
Okay. Well, he's in the conversation. Let's put it that way. Travis Kelce's in the conversation of being the face of that franchise. Yes, Mark.
So Mount Rushmore Chiefs, Mahomes, Kelce, Taylor, Andy Reid?
You're talking modern day, so Taylor Swift goes up on the Mount Rushmore?
Like, of the Chiefs dynasty. Of the Chiefs dynasty, those are the four heads.
Okay, you might put Chris Jones up there, but sure, if you want to. She's a value pick. Yes, Paulie?
We do love when there's like a Thursday night promo for two teams, and the team has a bad quarterback situation or it's in flux. No. Like there was one last year because if Kenny Pickett was playing so bad, and I think it was Trubisky was maybe in, and it was like Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs face like Hayward or
T.J.
T.J. Watt was out even.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty tough where you're like, who do we feature? I don't know. Put up Mean Joe Green. Yes, Todd.
And sometimes out of desperation, they'll put like two or three guys together, huddled together that aren't. Together they're maybe really good, but not any one of them.
It's like the Giants this year, New York Giants.
Dexter Lawrence.
Am I going to have Danny Dimes up there? Yeah, Marv.
Miles Garrett was legit on one of the boards. Yeah. Like Miles Garrett in the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah. Coming to town.
Face Bill Belichick in the New England Patriots.
Belichick, you're not playing.
What's poll question for hour two, Seton?
Well, I got one that I was just kicking around myself because we had French toast a little earlier. Best meal of the day, breakfast, lunch, or dinner? I don't know if I want to blow up the show with that, but...
Yeah, we can't go.
I'm just saying I think breakfast is underappreciated.
Yeah, it is.
As an all-time great meal.
I'm not a breakfast guy.
What?
No, not at all.
How is that possible?
It's just... I just plow through it. What? Yeah, don't need it.
That's my problem with, like, if you ever go to Italy... Not a breakfast culture.
Not at all.
Not at all. And it's like, after like we were there for a couple, I'm like, can we just get some eggs somewhere or something? No eggs and bacon, nothing. Turns out I'm like a real American breakfast.
Snob?
Neater. No, not even a snob. No, but neater. Like,
of course.
I can't have like a little pastry and a quick shot of coffee. I want to have some like eggs and bacon and some toast.
Yeah, they don't have a Denny's over there.
They don't have a diner. Not a big diner culture.
IHOP.
Over there.
Dante's, they call it.
Yeah, they don't have it over there where you can go, go in there and get me some steak and eggs.
I'm just saying, it seems like a hole to me. If you guys want to go over there in 3.5 years, we'll open up a diner. All of a sudden, going to be, Italy's Guy Fieri.
Yeah. Oh. okay, so hour two. Wait, let's not go with the most important meal of the day.
Okay.
Not yet.
We could have how many years does LeBron continue to play? Okay. One, two, three, or more.
Huh. I'm going to say two.
Yeah.
I say two. He got a lot of mileage, man. But he hasn't had that devastating injury. Like, you look back on most of these superstars, you know, even Jordan, what, his second year in the league, and he broke his foot. Kobe with the Achilles. I mean, just the mileage that you have on your body and the way you play. I mean, LeBron, I mean, he's blowing everybody away statistically. But I think there's, if you look at games played or minutes played, that's where it's pretty amazing what he's been able to do. Yeah, Paulie.
Just to give you a comparison, Michael Jordan played 1,251 games. That's regular season and playoffs, everything. Kobe Bryant played 1,566 total games. LeBron currently is at 1,783.
Yeah.
And if you do two more seasons, you're adding 150 plus the playoff games. You know, he's easily at 18.
Not a lot of playoff games.
No. But you're looking at 1,860.
Yeah.
Probably.
If that's that's a lot. Obviously. Rob in Cincinnati. Hi, Rob. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. On the LeBron thing, I'm just wondering what you think about, you know, you're talking about how the Lakers can improve. What about how a LeBron team can improve? I mean, I get he's got four titles. The LeBron-centric formula has worked in the past, but I've never really gotten the feeling that he's even had rosters that have had a true team feel with passing, free throws, efficiency, like prime Warriors or Spurs or even Thunder. What do you guys think about that?
Well, he's always been a passer. I mean, I don't think you could say LeBron is selfish. I mean, the knock on him early in his career was he was too unselfish. They get to the line. As a team, like, it's embarrassing the number of times they get to the line as opposed to anybody else. It's like there's the Lakers, and then there is Joel Embiid. It feels like that's the disparity. It's the Lakers, and then Joel Embiid, and then everybody else in the NBA. Joe in North Carolina. Hi, Joe. What's on your mind?
Hi, Dan. I'm a little disappointed in you.
Oh.
You got it right. LeBron's always 2 to 3 steps ahead of everybody. But you missed the point of why he got out of the playoffs so early. He needs the rest to get ready to defend the in-season tournament championship.
They have a banner, Joe. They have the in-season banner. Yes, Marvin.
I forgot about that completely.
How can you forget? That's a slap in the face,
Marv.
Sorry, Lakers Nation.
Remember when Barkley was on, he said, I'm going to slap somebody if they put that banner up. And I'm like, they're probably going to put up a banner. The in-season tournament champions. Did we make up T-shirts? The Lakers in-season tournament champs? If we didn't, we should have.
Yeah. I wonder if you could buy them on a Lakers site. They wouldn't put those up.
Lucas in Texas. Hey, Lucas, what's on your mind?
Hey, Dan, good morning.
Good
How you doing?
Great.
Hey, with your particular perspective in the media, I'd love your kind of thoughts on this. So with you mentioned it last hour that this is the first time since like 2006 that we haven't had LeBron, Steph, or KD in the second round. And so it really feels like this is a chance for someone to kind of, you know, step up and grab the mantle of, you know, the next face of the NBA, whatever you want to call it. It feels like Ant Edwards is that guy, but I mean, from your like years covering the NBA, what is it that actually, you know, helps someone take that leap? Is it actually winning a title? Is it like a major highlight, big dunk, big play, lots of stats? Is it something like winning gold medal at the Olympics this year? I mean, like, what is it that will really take someone from, you know, because there have been a million next guys, Penny Hardaway or, you know, something.
No, you got to
like
win. You got to win. And you got to be exciting when you win. I mean, Tim Duncan won, but the knock was that Tim was boring. But he did win. So you can win and not be elevated to a status of, you know, all-time superstar. He's one of the all-time greats. He's just, you know, he's one of those, oh, yeah, that's right, Tim Duncan. If Anthony Edwards would lead Minnesota to a title this year, now you could stamp him and say, that guy can be a Jordan-like player. Because there's star power, charisma, the movie that he was in, Hustle, he was a star in that. It just feels like he's right there. It's happening right in front of us, and it's happening quicker than I think we thought. He does have highlights. There's there's, you know, hundreds of guys who have highlights, but it's having those highlights in a moment where you're winning big games. That's the most important thing. Winning the game, and then if you do it in a way that you did it, there's flair, you hit the big shot, play, you know, a big defensive play. Like, those are the things. That's what it comes down to. Star power. Doing it when everybody's watching you do it. Yes, Marv.
I think Anthony Edwards has a chance to do it this round. If he dethrones the Nuggets, he gets into that stratosphere of super-duper star, top five player in the NBA. If he knocks off Jokic and Murray and those guys.
But you got to pay it off. You got to pay it off.
I'm not sure if you... Alan,
Luka went to a conference finals.
Who'd he beat?
Clippers.
Go ahead.
But you got to pay it off. Because if you win, and then people would be like, okay, how about this? And then all of a sudden, OKC knocks you out. Then what are we going to say? Wow, that was, you know, that was exciting, but you lost.
What about a run just to the finals? And you just beat a Celtics team that's better than you.
That'll at least put you on stage. I mean, that's, you want to at least get there. Because Jason Tatum's gotten there. And what happens? It's been a negative. We go, oh, you can't trust the Celtics. Even now. If you say Celtics are the best, I mean, I just said there is no way they're not getting to the Eastern Conference or the NBA Finals. Like, you have to. You have to. Now, Porzingis got hurt, but Jason Tatum almost hurt his reputation by getting to the finals because we watched him then kind of melt down. We want to see what you do when everybody else is watching you. And I think that's what separates you. I mean, the thing with Jordan is he didn't lose. Joe Montana, when he got to the Super Bowl, he didn't lose. He didn't throw interceptions. Mike never got to a game seven. I mean, Magic had one of the greatest closeout games of all time. Walt Frazier against the Lakers in 1970 went for 36 and 19 assists against Jerry West and the Lakers. All of a sudden, you're Clyde Frazier. You need those moments where you go, oh my God, look at this guy. Yes, Marv.
But I think Anthony Edwards, if he has one of those defining games against the Nuggets and gets to the finals, if he gets to the finals and they play hard and they just lose to a Celtics team that's better, then all right, maybe.
All right.
Super-duper star status.
All those guys that we said, oh, they're the next Jordan. How many of those guys won titles? Vince Carter didn't. When he's the star, Vince didn't.
Harold Miner didn't.
I checked, he didn't.
Grant Hill did not. Anthony Hardaway didn't. Like, we're waiting for somebody. They didn't win. If you win a title, now all of a sudden you separated yourself from everybody. If Anthony Edwards wins a title this year, he has separated himself. Now you're in a real, real, real small category of all the modern day players. Yes, Mark.
In Minnesota, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think where you win it is also very important.
Well, you're a hero the rest of your life. They'll build a statue for you if that happens. All right, let me take a break. We'll come back. I got some information here. One of my sources talking about Kirk Cousins and the Falcons that I think you might find interesting. And Roger Goodell, he kind of floated it out there with the 18-game schedule. And then it's going to be 19. It's going to be 20. I think we're headed in that direction. I don't think it's a question of if, but when. We'll take a break. Back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, this is Tom Verducci from Fox Sports, MLB Network, and Sports Illustrated.
And I'm Joe Madden, and we're going to be around to talk a little bit about managerial decisions and what may have occurred in the dugout, maybe in the 1980s.
It's the Book of Joe podcast. I can't wait for this, Joe. We're going to dive into what goes on in the dugout and behind the scenes in Major League Baseball.
Cars, wine, whatever else we want to talk about.
Yeah, well, there are no boundaries, right? Listen to the Book of Joe podcast on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah, it's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar.
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brown. Porzingis leaves it. Brown takes it to the basket. Rejected.
Porzingis has to come out. Something happened.
People. Something bad happened.
That is not good.
Celtics on number 9, Derek White, his first team.
He's only 2:27 to go to halftime, so he'll go directly to the locker room.
Kristaps Porzingis injured his calf. I think initially maybe thought it would be the Achilles, but he walked off the floor. You could see the frustration. Celtics were up 3-1 on the Heat in the first round. Next game will be on Wednesday. Probably an MRI, and then figure out exactly what Kristaps Porzingis' availability will be. Odds to win the NBA championship. Anybody want to take a get? Marvin, I'll start with you. Odds to win the title.
The Nuggets?
The Nuggets are second. It's the Boston Celtics.
The Celtics?
Yeah, Seton, you got it. Bloop, bloop. Celtics and then the Nuggets. Anybody want to take a guess who's third, according to DraftKings, odds to win the title, Todd?
The New York Knickerbockers?
Nope. Paul?
Pacers?
Pacers, no.
Timberwolves?
The OKC Thunder.
Oh, yeah.
Then the Timberwolves, then the Knicks, then the Mavs. Pacers didn't make the board. No, they didn't. That's according to DraftKings. All right. Let me see. So Robert Horry, Big Shot Bob, will join us. He covers the Lakers for Spectrum Sportsnet. He'll join us a little bit later on. You got games coming up tonight, 76ers and the Knicks, Magic at the Cavs, and the Pacers at the Bucks. Chris in Texas. Good morning, Chris. What's on your mind?
Hey, Dan. 6'2", 275.
Soft.
Dan, last night the Nuggets were absolutely insane. I love watching Jokic and Murray. I thought it was insane. It made me wonder and ask the question, who is the combination that you've seen like a Jokic and Murray, what they do? They have Michael Porter Jr. as well. That's just he's a great asset for him. But those three, I mean, Jokic with 3 minutes left is sprinting, doing a full court sprint down the court, doing the fast break. Who have you seen like that? Who does it remind you of?
Well, there's nobody like Joker in the history of the sport. Like, it's hard to create something we've never seen in the NBA. Like, Steph Curry created something we had never seen before. Magic created something we had never seen before. Mike created something we had never seen before. Dirk Nowitzki created something we had never seen before. It's rare. It's hard to do something where you go, nobody's ever seen that before. And we haven't seen that. You know, Jamal Murray coming back from an injury, never been an all-star, but every year it feels like the last couple of years we go, damn, he's clutch. But then we don't talk about Jamal Murray the rest of the year. It's just in the postseason, which is a tribute to him. It's like Vinnie Johnson with the Pistons. It was like, golly, he's hitting a big shot after a big shot. You know, certain players, they get that moment like Robert Horry, where you don't talk about him during the regular season. You get to the postseason, you're like, man, he's clutch. Yes, Mark.
It's kind of like Jimmy Butler in a sense.
Yeah.
We don't talk about him all year until May.
Yeah. You know, when you talk about injuries here with Achilles injuries, and, you know, Porzingis right now appears it's just a calf. And sometimes what happens, if you've ever suffered an injury, a lot of times you don't go, oh, my God, that's so painful. It's guys who have an Achilles injury, they think they got kicked in the back of their ankle, back of their leg. Like, God, what was that? Because your Achilles just rolls up your leg. We've seen that happen to Durant. Certainly Rodgers. When Aaron Rodgers got hurt, he just sat there, but he knew that it was serious. Kobe, when he sat down, he was on the floor, and he was like, oh, God, I'm shooting these free throws. But he knew in the moment, like there's certain injuries that you go, that's trouble. But not all the injuries hurt when you suffer them. You know what it is. Like your body, you're well aware. It's like, wow, that hurts. Or that's something serious. But with Porzingis, it's like, and you know, he's had injuries throughout his career. But it, you know, all of a sudden, now do you shut him down? Can you, you know, you're going to get through to the next round here. You're eventually going to need him. Yeah, Pauling?
I went back and looked at Kevin Durant's Achilles tear. He's doing a light crossover on a player on a very generic play. He barely even makes a hard move, and he just starts going. He looks back like someone threw something at him.
Yeah.
He goes like this, and then he goes down. He's like, and then he has this look on his face like, oh, I know what's going on. And everyone else is like, what's happening here? Because you couldn't see anything.
Well, the Achilles is unlike anything that you know anybody's going to suffer. Man, I've said this before. I was playing in a pickup game in Denver, and a guy was on the floor with us, and you could hear both Achilles pop. And that was the sound. And he went down like he was shot. And I was like, you know, what happened? I'd never been around somebody who had their Achilles go. And both of his went at the same time. And I'm like, whoa.
It's weird how that can happen.
So,
right. They're not linked.
No, they're not.
It's not like one makes the other one weaker or stronger.
And it wasn't like he was Iverson on the floor, you know, breaking people's ankles here. It's like, oh, my God, do you see what happened to Mo? Boom, boom.
That happened to my gym teacher when I was in high school. A dude who should not have been playing basketball as aggressively as he was paid the price for that because he snapped both of his at the same time. And I've never seen anyone in that much pain in my entire life.
Yeah. Certain injuries, certain time. A lot of times you'll find older guys when they're out there playing tennis or pickleball or maybe basketball, softball. You're going to take the extra base there. It's like, oh. You're
going to leg it out? No,
yeah. No.
Jim, just
don't. Some football news. Roger Goodell pumped up the 18-game schedule, and nobody is surprised. And, you know, this is a plan. It's not like somebody's going to ask, you know, McAfee's not going to ask the commissioner where he goes, you know, I hadn't even thought of an 18-game schedule. I don't know. What do you think? Like, these have been discussed for a while. And, of course, they're going to have 18 games. And then there's going to be a push for 19. And there will be a push for 20. It's just going to happen. and the number of games are going to be played outside the United States. Well, now you feel like you have a couple of games to play with each team, or at least one. And now you're saying to these teams, pick a country that can be your fan base. You're the official football team of Brazil. You're the official team of London, like Jacksonville is laid claim to, or Mexico City. This is what the NFL, they want to globalize this. Well, you're not going to have a team in another country. At least this is what I'm told. So this is the best way of doing that, that's your team. Now we sell more merchandise. Now all of a sudden we globalize this because that's what the NBA did. The NFL wants to do this. I mean, they tried the World Football League, and while it was enjoyable to be able to see some of these cities, it just didn't catch on. But now you have a chance to say the Eagles and the Packers are going to play here, and the Eagles want to lay claim to this city. Yeah, Paul.
Roger Goodell is very smart in how he presents it. On McAfee's show, he didn't say, I'm in favor of an 18-game schedule. He actually said, quote, I think we're good at 17 now, but we're looking at everything. I like the fans. I'm not a big fan of the preseason, and I'd be fine if people wanted to replace a preseason game with an 18-game. It's almost like he's taking it off him and saying, I want what the crowd wants.
We've been saying this for years, that get rid of the preseason, cut it down to two games, and then, no, the owners, they want to have four, they want to have five, you know, they wanted revenue. I get it. Well, do I want preseason revenue or do I want regular season revenue? I'll take regular season revenue. And they're going to go to 18 games. And they're going to back up the Super Bowl. We talked about that as well. You can do it, and you're going to have a three-day weekend.
Uh-huh.
All of this stuff, this has already been decided. It's just, when do you make it public that you're going to do this? Then you got to talk to the NFLPA. And then they're going to say, hey, what do you want? What do you want? How about this? How about instead of a 53-man roster, how about you have a 57-man roster? How about we have an extra quarterback? How about we have an extra offensive player, an extra defensive player, an extra special teams player? How about that? Or maybe just a wild card position there. This way, you create four more jobs. You give a little bit more depth because you're going to have injuries. We had over 60 quarterbacks start last year, throw a pass. So then you get more paychecks, more people getting paychecks, and it might be a win-win situation. But this is going to happen. It's not a question of if, but when. I mentioned this about having some information, a source telling me about Kirk Cousins. Now, this is somebody who loved Michael Penix. He was the person who told me, hey, Penix is going up. And same guy who said Mahomes was going up years ago. Same guy who told me Baker Mayfield was going number one overall. So he's got a track record of knowing what he's talking about. He said, Michael Penix will get first team reps all spring through OTAs and minicamps. His arm talent will be on display. That will be hard to ignore for the Falcon players who won't be comfortable with Kirk Cousins. So he called him KC. It won't be comfortable for Kirk Cousins. So imagine that, and nobody's brought that up. They're going to see Michael Penix throughout the summer because Kirk is still mending from Achilles surgery. And they're going to see this. And then they're going to go, oh, my God, and that guy's not going to play for a couple of years? How awkward is that going to be? So Penix will be there, taking first-team reps. They're going to see the talent that he has, the arm strength that he has, and then Kirk has to come back, and then he'll be your starting quarterback. Also, my source said, you know, it's weird for a team that's going to get in trouble for tampering with Kirk Cousins. They wanted Kirk Cousins so badly, they might get dinged for tampering. And then they fell in love with Michael Penix. So, as my source said, how does that happen? You want Kirk Cousins so badly, you're probably going to lose a first-round draft pick because you tampered with Kirk Cousins. And then you decided that you want to go all in on Michael Penix for the future. And then my source said, this will be 2 years. Kirk Cousins, best-case scenario, in his opinion, will be 2 years. And that'll be it. Now, they'll have to eat some of that, or maybe he's a backup quarterback, but he thinks Michael Penix will be the starting quarterback in year three in the NFL. So, just some of the things that maybe you didn't think about. Nobody else did, but hey, we love this guy so much, we're going to tamper. We're going to lose a draft pick or two. Oh, man, we really love Michael Penix Jr. And then the fact that he's going to take all those first-team reps, and everybody's going to see this. And it's like when Justin Herbert, when we saw him on Hard Knocks, and when veterans start to turn around and watch a rookie, and they're watching Justin Herbert, and you could see where they're going, damn, right? Kirk Cousins is going to be in a cart, and Michael Penix is going to be firing the ball all over the field. And everybody's going to be like, all right, Michael, man, you're killing. Love you, Michael. Yeah, man. And then Kirk's over there going, hey, good job, Mike. Yes, Marvin.
You know what? I changed my answer. I do want the Falcons to be on Hard Knocks. Can you imagine the wide receiver mic'd up, Drake London being going, oh, my gosh. If Penix was in this game right now.
Yeah. Yes, Seton.
The Falcons are sounding like like they just fall in love with who's in front of them. Like if you, like my son and I will, after the NFL draft, we always go back and see who the Patriots got, and we watch highlight videos of who they got. Mm. And it's like, well, we got, you know, Javon Baker? This dude's going to be like the best wide receiver in the league. Or whatever. What the hell do we need Drake May for when we got Joe Milton? Joe Milton's way better. You know, like you just fall in love with whoever you're seeing, and then you never actually get to see them play because it was like a sixth-round tight end that's never going to get off the practice squad.
There is no way Michael Penix has to wait 4 years to play. It just doesn't. Like, do you want to be great now or try to be great now, or do you sort of want to be good now and make sure that you're sort of good down the road? Because it feels like the Falcons were trying to play both ends. Hey, we can win this division. Okay. The guy who you drafted eighth overall doesn't help you unless Kirk Cousins gets injured. And down the road, when Kirk's gone, okay, you got your quarterback, but are you going to be kind of good? They're kind of good this year. I think you aspire to be great in a division you could win. Host a first-round playoff game. Who knows? Ask the Packers and go on the road. Beat the Cowboys. Never, go into a season where you go, you know, our goal is to kind of win the division. No? It's, hey, we're going to win the division. We're going to host a playoff game. And I could see us going to the NFC title game. Like, you have to have aspirations, I would think. But with the Falcons, feels like they're trying to do both. We're kind of good, and we hope we're kind of good in a couple of years. Take a break. More phone calls coming up. Back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah, it's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar!
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Shea across the timeline against Marshall's heated on-ball pressure as 19 points in game four. Gets a Dort pick. Guarded by McCollum on a switch. Swoops baseline with a step. Lays it up and lays it home as he weaved inside. Snaking his way for the deuce. Give him 21 tonight.
Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. Thunder beat the Pelicans. Sweep their first round series. And they did it with defense. Pelicans didn't score more than 92 points in those four games. OKC is a team that you really have to watch. You can't watch the highlights and figure out who they are. Good team, deep team, young team. And I was wondering, you know, when it comes to that experience or lack thereof, OKC or Minnesota, you know, the team that has the best chance to knock off Denver. I would say Minnesota, they feel, and you've got a couple of experienced players there, not necessarily experience going deep into the playoffs, but with Karl Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert, you have a little bit more experience there. But OKC, fun to watch. As long as Shea Gilgeous and Chet don't sing, I'm fine with that. You know, that commercial, and they play it so often. Sometimes when a commercial is bad, it's okay, you can tolerate it. But when it gets played a lot, and you're like, oh, no. And then all of a sudden, I'm mad at AT&T. For no other reason than, how'd you allow this to happen? Chet Holmgren and SGA doing their singing. You know, a little flat. Do we have it, Marvin? No? Why don't you sing it, don't you?
What a pro wants. What a pro needs.
Okay, is it bad on purpose or is it bad?
I think they salvaged it with the last line by SGA where he said it's a little flat. I think they probably thought, most people think they can sing. I think most people feel like, hey, listen to this.
Why does the commercial annoy people so much? Because it's universally disliked.
Well, I don't think they know who these guys are to begin with.
Yeah.
No, I mean.
That's true. It's
like if Gronk was singing that, we'd be like, all right, yeah, Gronk is bad, but it would be more entertaining because we would know, oh, that's Gronk, and he's being a goofball. Like Chet Holmgren looks like Abe Lincoln, you know?
Rangier.
Yes, Marvin.
Should they have done it with their jerseys on?
Yes. That would have helped. It would have been weird, though, going out to the team bus, but if you had your warm-ups on, maybe, and we took a shot from behind and got your names.
And people would be like, why didn't they get real basketball players to do it instead of these actors? Get LeBron James and Steph Curry.
Do you have some of it, Marvin?
And I'm thanking you for knowing exactly what a pro wants, what a pro needs. Whatever makes me happy sets me free.
Good. A little bit flat. We'll get better.
AT&T provides
a okay. Like recommendation. All right.
Why does it bother? I'm bothered by it, but why does it bother people? Because it's average, below average singing, has nothing to do with cell phones.
Well, first of all, I don't even know what they're singing.
I don't know either.
So they're singing a song, I don't even know what it is. And what, Todd?
I've heard that song before. I have to check out who sings it. It's like, what a girl wants, what a girl needs.
Yeah,
so
I don't even know what they're singing.
It's an old song.
And at first I was like, that's Chet Holmgren. I mean, I know they're trying to get, you know, Shea Gilgeous, some national publicity. Is that Christina Aguilera, Todd? That would not be in your wheelhouse other than she's good looking.
I do see Christina Aguilera. Okay. That may be a remake, though. I thought that was an older song, but I see Christina Aguilera for that.
Well, it is a remake from what they were doing when they were singing it. But no, It's not, I don't know, not clever. Nah.
Like your first national ad, and it drives people crazy. Like it's on all the time. I've seen it four times today.
That's part of the problem, though, too, where if you have the novelty of it, and then you're like, oh, okay. They should have fonted, put their names, Chet Holmgren and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Okay, but how many commercials are bad? Like Gronk's.
And I'm begging you for knowing exactly what a pro wants, what a pro needs. Whatever makes me happy sets me free.
Can it border on. Can you border on catchy? Like Gronk's commercials are silly. But it's Gronk, so we sort of accept that. They're not good, but it's like Gronk, and he's still trying to get insurance and busted.
The tennis one. I thought I meant your serve. Oh.
I thought you meant, did I serve? Yes.
There's a fine line between cringy and catchy. And with that one, because it's played so much, even though it's meant to be bad with that throwaway line at the end, you know, that, you know, we need to work on it.
Okay, but... Patrick Mahomes commercials. How about the Subway commercials? Are those, like, I'm only entertained by hearing Barkley try to cram as many words as possible into, like, he's got 30 seconds of copy and he's got to get it into 18 seconds and he's just reading as fast as he can. Those are kind of, what about the State Farm?
Lightly fun.
Okay.
Still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Paul?
I love the Subway commercial that they signed up Tom Brady. Everyone knows that he's never eaten Subway, would never eat Subway, but I'll take the money to do the commercial. I almost respect it, weirdly.
Yeah.
Like, but they use Tom Brady, like, everyone knows he doesn't eat it. So what? Let's put him in the ad.
But is there a great commercial involving athletes now? Yeah, Marv?
What about Nationwide is on your side? With what, Brad with Paisley Peyton? And Peyton Manning?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they had some legs. They had some legs. Can't think of...
That's it.
Yeah.
And I'm thanking you
for... What a pro one. What a pro me. And I'm thanking you for knowing exactly what a pro wants, what a pro needs. Whatever makes me happy sets me free.
See, it is. It's a flat. It's flat. Yeah. They're singing flat, and he says, yeah, see, it's a little flat, but we'll get it. That's the joke.
Do you think they were actually trying to sing well?
No. Well, I don't think that they could sing better than that.
Okay. So they were trying.
I think that they were trying.
I don't think they went in and go, yeah, you know, these guys are Pavarotti, but I want you guys to dumb it down a little bit. You know, I don't want you to sing well. Yes, Mark.
My favorite part is they dap each other up afterwards. Like, you know, we killed it.
Yeah, Chet kind of is like, when he's got his hand going, like, we're killing this right now. Yeah, man. Yeah. Like, I'm...
Yeah. Okay, is there a follow-up to this? Do they do one postseason?
With Christina Aguilera.
Well, they can't do that to her. That seems mean-spirited. Big Shot Bob, Robert Oreo will join us coming up. Final hour. As LeBron played his last game as a Laker.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.